Hello, everyone, and welcome to DataFem, where we engage you with stories of how innovators across the globe are using data to achieve new heights in their respective industries. I'm Danielle, founder of Dicayo Data and host of the DataFem podcast. And with me, I have a panel of leaders from ThoughtSpot, which you might know is the AI-powered analytics platform that empowers anyone to ask any data questions in natural language and get accurate answers. I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves before we dive into our discussion. We are all thrilled to have you following along. Well, I am so happy to have you all here. There's been a lot of buildup, a lot of excitement, and a lot of topics that we're going to cover today. So I'd love to go around the panel and have everybody introduce yourself briefly, how you ended up at ThoughtSpot and what your role is, so that we can all get accustomed to each other's voices, and then we'll dive right into the questions.
Hey, thanks a lot for having us here. My name is Hema Magesh. I'm a VP of engineering out of India. I've been in the tech industry for almost 24 years now. I have been in multiple domains. I started off with networking, programming chips. I've worked through layer 2 to layer 4 in a networking stack. And I moved to ThoughtSpot almost 4 years back. Excited to be in the data application space. It's been a fun journey since I've transitioned in and out of different segments in the industry. This is, I would say, by far really, really interesting technically.
I'm Sarah Vedevic. I'm a director of product at ThoughtSpot and coming from Mode. Mode was recently acquired by ThoughtSpot over the summer. My background is sort of rooted dually in data and in product management. So about 10 years ago, I was on the Obama campaign's data team in Florida, which is really what got me into what became modern data analysis. And I've spent the last 10 years working across the Bay Area in a variety of startups. And it really sort of instilled in me a love of building product for data folks. So in lots of ways, Mode and then ThoughtSpot is a great place for me to be. I lead for the data analyst persona.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anjali Kumari, and I've been working in product organizations for, more than 19 years now, mostly in startups. I've worked in organizations such as Box.com in US, Myntra, Capri Technologies in India, have been associated with analytics now for more than a decade. At ThoughtSpot, it has been an interesting journey. I started off in India more than 4 years ago, where I was hired to build the product management team and design team in India. As the VP of product right now, I lead some of the core product areas such as natural language search, proprietary keyboard-based search, visualization, Spot IQ, mobile, etc. And I've recently moved to US, owning the complete business user persona product experience. Excited to be here.
Well, that is wonderful. It's really great to meet you all. I actually found out about ThoughtSpot when DBT's conference Coalesce was in New Orleans, where I'm based. And so it's been a minute, but I've really enjoyed getting to learn virtually since the conference about what you all do. When I first found out about ThoughtSpot at the conference, Gen AI wasn't really as talked about as it is now. But now it's pretty much the hottest topic on the radar. I'd love anyone to take a stab at what generative AI is and what role it should play in tech and what everyone needs to know about it right now.
So yeah, I think Gen AI is not new anymore. And the hype it has generated, pretty much everyone is aware of. It's a major shift in the tech space. Of course, there are skepticism and it has gone through any new technological hype. But if done right, it opens up a plethora of opportunities. That's how I see Gen AI. you know, it opened up opportunities for new startups, actually new startups starting their businesses based on Gen AI. So that's pretty interesting. It has opened up opportunities for organizations such as ours to rethink or how do we provide existing experiences to the users. I feel that Gen AI has been a major shift, paradigm shift in the tech space. And given last year, it's almost an anniversary for Gen AI, more than slightly over 1 year. So what you'll see probably now is that the hype will go off. The expectations will, you know, kind of settle down. Last year, it was more like, you know, it can do everything. So it will be more realistic this year.
I love what you just said about how when Gen AI first came out, the assumption was that it would just do everything possible and solve every single problem. And now it's going to be more realistic. What are some of the former assumed capabilities that you think will be filtered out as not part of the scope?
So AI has been a very interesting space right from the beginning. We launched SpotIQ, one of the AI-based insights, automatically generating insights. And the expectation that we saw from our users was that you could really unearth insights the users couldn't have imagined for. What they don't understand is AI needs a little bit of, you know, training. It needs context. It doesn't automatically work out of the box. So it is better than earlier, but definitely it's not magic. So that is the expectation setting that will happen with the audiences, with the users, that AI is not a magic tool. It is something that requires work. You know, give a little bit of work and a little bit of effort there, it can actually become magic.
I love how you're basically saying the result of that magic that you're looking for is there, but it comes because of your effort and your ability to use the tool as it's meant to be used, as opposed to the tool having inherent magic and control over you itself. Hema, do you have anything to add to this?
Being in the technical space, in the engineering space, I do definitely believe Gen AI is magic. And there are various reasons to it. It's not something that just evolved. Academia and research has been going on for like 2-3 decades on this topic in depth. But as Anjali mentioned, think of Gen AI or any of this as what electricity did to devices or what cotton did to fashion industry, right? It has given us a extremely useful base foundation to stand on. And then from here, you can figure out whether you want to invent a microwave or electric kettle or what you want to do out of it. So that's where the interesting things come, right? What application do you want to build? How do you want to make use of it to produce magic? But it's just so fascinating in the last couple of years for us in terms of what's going on.
You really need strong data, strong guardrails, a lot of context, and the right prompts to get magic out of these models. And so I think for a lot of companies, some of the more public, sort of funny failures have really resonated. And it's something that I hear when I talk to customers, that they are nervous about using Gen AI in like sort of the right way. And I think we can sort of talk a little bit about ThoughtSpot Sage, which I have a lot of respect for, in terms of its approach and like how we've built it in terms of layers to give the right guardrails to the LLM.
You know, that's a good idea. Let's delve into Sage.
I think what differentiates ThoughtSpot is right from day one of ThoughtSpot, we have been search-based analytics. So last 10 years, we have done our own mistakes. We have worked along with customers to understand what do they mean when they are searching for content, from where exactly we should be looking for content, how to build the schema, how to build the semantic model and get the right results. We have understood nuances. So we have that base foundation from with respect to search. I think we are a decade ahead of everyone else. And with natural language, with GPT Magic, we are able to take that and marry within ThoughtSpot. To mention at high level, what we do is, assuming you give a natural language question to us, we try to understand onto what context are you asking that question. And we understand it from your previous way of using the system. And we also encourage you to train our Sage if you want to coach us better in terms of your content, your unique content as well. Otherwise, we do have understanding in terms of how you've been using ThoughtSpot. So we have the context in which you're asking the question. And of course, as we said, we are a base search-based mechanism. There are a lot of nuances we have understood. If you say, what is the revenue in the last quarter? We understand what you mean by that. If you say this quarter versus last quarter, how I'm doing? So all these nuances we already understand in Sage today. So having the previous foundation on it, which helps us, and we are able to bring in those kind of relevant results for you.
So when you said that you are a decade ahead, that is such an accomplishment in this space. What resources got you there? Like, what enabled ThoughtSpot to be able to take that leap?
So I'll answer and then Anjali can also follow. I think the moment GPT 2.5, we were following it. And the moment the directly ChatGPT 3, which got introduced, kind of changed everyone's perspective of the world. I'm really, really sure engineers in OpenAI did fight with their product managers saying, how will a chat box open up the world? I think that was a turning point for us to understand this is something that we should not miss. And I would give all the credit to the leadership team here. When the ChatGPT got launched, we immediately organized a hackathon within, I think, 2 weeks, giving teams some time to think about ideas that we would want. And we launched a hackathon, got all the ideas bottoms up, and started to prioritize them and productize as well. So as you said, rightly said, given that we had the foundation, now it's about marrying the two concepts and accelerating.
I think the foundation of any technological company is that you're a little bit experimental, and no matter you're a startup or a big organization, but you need to have a growth mindset and a very startup mindset with these kind of technological enhancements. And that is what has played really, really well for us. As Hema pointed out, within weeks, we were into it. We had engineers and product managers getting together and thinking of, you know, how we can, what we can build using this. If you don't know this, in 2019, we actually attempted natural language layer on top of what we currently do. So we attempted how a user can ask a natural language business question in 2019 itself. We failed because of poor accuracy, because of, you know, technological limitations, but we jumped on that opportunity. So we had some background for sure. But what we understood is the fact that you need to be responsible about it. You know, AI requires context. It requires governance to be applied right from the beginning. So that we had very clear expectation and experience from the past. Our founders have spoken in many different forums. So this is not a knowledge that resides only within ThoughtSpot. So we need to capitalize on these aspects, understand how AI works, be more experimental, and then go with it. So that's, I think that would be my advice to organizations who want to build something on GenAI. Be responsible, understand how AI works, what your user expects, and of course, be a lot more experimental and quick in launching. And just to give you an example, as Hema pointed out, November, we had the launch of GPT, and we actually launched our first product in March. And we were in the, you know, in the industry, this product was named as the best enterprise implementation of GPT.
Wow, that's crazy and super admirable too, that you can prepare as much as you can for an outcome that you think will happen. And then technology surprises you, releases something totally different. And it seems like ThoughtSpot was and is able to switch gears very quickly and command resources for that switch. You know, there should be time to have these conversations and, you know, bounce off each other like we're doing right now. But in such a fast-paced environment, like we're talking November to March, we don't really have a ton of time, at least in the corporate world, to sit and, you know, mull over the implications.
When you think about being fast, you should also think about being incremental. And that's very important because, you know, the way we built it, it's not like day one we had the best product out there. You know, we took it iteratively. We launched something, we experimented with some of our customers, and then learned from it. And then we are continuously iterating over it. So the journey doesn't end when you start and, you know, launch the first product. So if you think incrementally, you can be extremely fast, as well as you can be thoughtful over a period of time.
Let's pivot a little bit, since we've been talking about ThoughtSpot's innovation culture and recent launches. Tell me about your unique approach to research and development.
I'll give one example. The first meeting I attended, we were an on-prem organization. Remember, ThoughtSpot was, we used to sell software, which customers will run on their data centers, and they would do their analytics on-prem. We were not on cloud. And the first meeting, they said, oh, let's launch SaaS. We are in April, and they're speaking about launching SaaS July end. I thought probably they'll discuss till July on how to do it. So I really honestly didn't believe that we would really launch and experiment and go so fast. So that's something I learned here. It's not about getting everything right at the first go. We will learn, we will correct ourselves and make it better iteratively. That is a very, very key thing, right? Like atomic habits, like everything else. Be innovative, change things one per day, and you will get there. When you do this as a team, a group of people, like the set of folks we have in ThoughtSpot, you can really, really create a difference. Within 3 months, we got I would say more like a beta running. We had it in the cloud. We were only on AWS at that point in time. We had it launched, and then we went on to the next aggressive goal, 100 customers within 100 days, right? So we wanted people to experience it, come for free trial, get onboarded, and try and use it. So one thing which I've learned specifically after joining ThoughtSpot is dream big, work iteratively. You need not get everything perfect in the first go. And experiment, iterate, learn through your mistakes, but learn very fast and keep moving. That culture, I believe, has made the difference for us.
And it seems like a lot of the research and development work is happening out of India.
Yeah, that's one of the most exciting part of my job. The really good thing about ThoughtSpot is we have no HQ culture. So wherever we have bandwidth available, if engineers can go ahead, try it out, innovate, we could do it. So as I mentioned, whether in terms of hackathon, if we try out something new and we believe that it can make a difference, we have gone ahead and built even product lines based on these ideas. So we have a considerable amount of R&D, which is happening out of India. We roughly have around 350 folks in engineering itself out of India. We also have made a couple of acquisitions in the last few years. When I did join ThoughtSpot, we were 50 engineers out of Bangalore. Now we are 350 people. We have grown multiple times. And also in India, ThoughtSpot has pledged to invest around $150 million in the matter of next 5 years. So we have grown rapidly in India. We have many teams out of Bangalore. We have the Sage, as you mentioned, which is the search engine. We have Spot IQ, which give insights from your data. Then we have data modeling teams, ThoughtSpot everywhere, the dashboard, the Liveboard teams. Various teams are operated out of India. Apart from that, we do have, beyond Bangalore, we have two centers, one in Hyderabad and one in Trivandrum. So exciting time for us back home.
I completely agree with Hema, but I think the key is to see any technological center as the center of excellence. And, I was so glad when I joined in 2019 that, you know, ThoughtSpot is thinking in that direction. You know, I was hired to build the product management and design teams in India. Essentially, that made me believe that they are thinking, the company is thinking in a way that you have a different center of excellence. At that time, we didn't have Hyderabad and Trivandrum offices, but that made me believe that we are thinking in the right direction, which is you want each center to be, you know, have more autonomy. And that's what makes us successful, even though we have like 3-4 different centers of development.
So it kind of feeds on itself. You pour in more investment, you have more ability to succeed, but then when you succeed, you prove the need for more investment.
Exactly.
How was the process starting that cycle of feedback?
It's more to do with having leaders, right leaders in the place. Having Hema, having KG, Kumar Gaurav, who's our India head, and having an alignment at the leadership level. One of the questions that I asked when I joined ThoughtSpot India team was this, which is, what makes you believe that I will have the right autonomy? Because I came from, a different organization where we were headquartered in India and all the CXOs were also in India. So I had this biggest fear. And I saw that confidence and more than confidence, the intention to make India successful. So I owe it to leaders for sure. And of course, there are times when you will have struggle, but having the fact that the management is so open to hear your feedback. Now, literally on the third week of me joining the organization, I had sent an email to the founders, to my manager, saying that I feel this company is very slow. And can you imagine, like at that time we were on-prem and we were releasing every 3 months, and now we are releasing every month. So like I felt slow because in my previous organization we were releasing code every 2 weeks, and they took it very nicely. So that's yet another piece. So I feel that having the right leaders makes a huge impact.
I agree. It comes with a set of challenges. It's never easy. I do have a huge respect for US. Just the academia and the industry is so blended in terms of innovation. You have research going on Stanford. They're like a couple of people who are starting something new. And the Bay Area is just amazing in terms of talent as well as with respect to pure content which comes out of that place. Right. It's been fantastic. And if you see, India has gone through its journey where, 30 years back, it was a lot more of outsourcing from a cost angle. And in the last 4-5 years or almost 10 years, if you look at it, innovation has started in India. Otherwise, it was more in terms of support and integrations only, which was happening. And now in the last 10 years, you see more of B2C innovations which were happening. In the last decade, few successful organizations in terms of B2B space has happening. But one thing for anyone trying to have an India center or anywhere else beyond their particular center of excellence is you have to have patience as well as intention to work through it. Nothing is going to work in the first set, as Anjali mentioned. You have to find the right set of team. You have to get people, attract talent, retain them, make them to believe and be very intentional about it and work through. It is extremely tough. I know Sarah gets up really early to meet me and to speak. And she knows that we have to make this happen so that it is impactful and value generating for the organization. It takes a lot of time and sacrifice for everyone to make it happen across time zones.
Oh, I can sympathize for sure. I've been expanding my coverage of DataFem guests, not only to India, like with you all, but to Europe. And that's kind of an awkward time zone to work with. So I've been recording at 7:30 a.m. in the morning, which is very, very early for my normal way of being. So Sarah, I respect you a ton for that. Do you want to talk about what it's been like to see this growth over in Hyderabad from your perspective?
Well, I work pretty closely with a couple of teams in India, which is why Hema and I are meeting at weird times of her night and my morning. I think it's about both creating opportunities for connections, but also creating space for autonomy. And I think this is one of the things that's really important sort of generally in product development. But it's something that I think that when it's something we're always trying to get better at, but I think it's something that we do try to be really purposeful about in terms of having the teams sort of articulate what they want to be working on, what they think they're working on over the next year, quarter by quarter. This allows different teams to coordinate with each other, to understand what they expect others to be doing. It also makes it easier to get your dependencies out there, which is really important when you might have a dependency on a team in a different time zone. And it really helps sort of just have really clear expectations from the start. It's one of the things that's really important in being able to drop everything to really capitalize on a ChatGPT launch, is to know sort of what you're going to have to move around to make space for that development work, and knowing sort of what customers might be impacted or customer asks might get pushed back. That whole conversation is really important, and it's really important for the organization to be able to engage with it, whether it's in India or in the US or across time zones. And so I think those kind of so that structure is really important to ensuring that people understand what they're trying to do together, even when they're not always in the same room.
I want to add one more point to what Sara mentioned. Also, carefully planning in terms of which teams you can make it successful remotely. All said and done, even in ThoughtSpot, most of our customers are in the US. So customer-focused teams, teams who have to work closely with customer, you can form a better bond when you're visiting them personally and when you're out there. There is a sense of comfort for your customers when you have a good support out of the same geo. So I think you have to be cognizant about the fact which teams, if you do establish outside the US, you can make it successful. Engineering works because it's not all the time firefighting. Support, for instance, sales, for instance, marketing, and a few other teams, I think works better where you're closer to the customer. I know it has been COVID and Zoom days, and not people travel all the time. But the comfort feel of, imagine from a customer point of view, they want to ensure that when you're a startup, you're going to be available for them. They will be taken care of, right? There are some concerns which comes from their point of view. You have to assure those teams are established, you know, closer to the customers. And then have a few other teams where it is okay from a timeline angle for them to respond a little later. To maintain that also works out perfectly.
Allowing for that asynchronous communication is something that social media has kind of gotten us primed to do. It's really cool to see this theme of decentralization actually work in the corporate world.
I'm wondering what impact this new structure has financially in terms of risk and mitigating risk.
I don't think there is a financial risk, frankly. You know, in deciding different centers, obviously we do an analysis of where to invest, etc. But that is yearly. I mean, in Hindi, there's a word called junoon, and which is passion. And essentially, that gives the different centers the passion to work harder and to also make sure that they're succeeding. We don't see it as a financial risk, but more of us as an opportunity to prove ourselves that we can do it. And that's the that comes from the passion of, you know, each of the individual that we have hired. I don't personally think there is a difference in how US and India tech ecosystems view the future of AI, or, you know, they both agree that there is a huge potential. You've seen numerous startups emerge in 2023 basing their application on GPT. You know, tech organizations in both the countries see this as an amazing opportunity, and they're both cashing on it. But the fact that no Indian tech companies have actually emerged to challenge the dominance of GPT, that worries me a little bit. But I do feel that while we'll see some great applications of these LLM models, organizations in India will probably lag by a few years in investing in their own large language models.
I definitely see what you're saying about sort of high level valuation of Gen AI and desire to capitalize on that opportunity. But there are quite a few differences in how we work that I think I've noticed coming in as more of an outsider, and have been very fun to navigate. For instance, so Mood was a fully remote company. So my team was really used to being on Zoom as our primary sort of face-to-face communication. and we leaned into Slack quite a bit. I've noticed that more of the teams in India actually want that Zoom time, and it can be harder to have a longer conversation, for instance, on Slack. That's something sort of we're working through. I think that like every team has different sort of communication norms, regardless of where they're based. And so there are some things that are, I think I see as particular to India, but honestly, I probably could have found them in any US development team too. At a more sort of casual level, there's a tendency for my Indian teammates to talk faster than I can understand. I have to sometimes struggle to get a word in edgewise or to remind them to slow down a little bit for my poor American ears.
When I was a kid, my mom's family had moved rather recently from India. My mom is first generation. She wasn't actually born in India. She was born in Germany, but they were kind of in the process of moving over to the States when she was little. And so for me, I had a lot of cultural opportunities that a lot of people didn't have. And I got to learn really fast from the ground up. You know, I think that's really, really cool to see that happening on a large corporate stage as well. And, you know, that we have the opportunity to work closely with people who are technically so far away. It doesn't feel that way anymore if the people that you're talking to every day are in India and the US going back and forth.
One of the things that did really help me to sort of understand where the team in India was coming from was just meeting them. And so ThoughtSpot does a couple of big in-person kickoffs for the start of the fiscal year. And so I got to travel to India for a company kickoff there. And so I got to meet a lot of members of the team. It's such a blur these days, they're so busy, but it was really helpful in meeting some of the engineers that I work with really closely now and helping us sort of to better understand each other as humans so that when we now talk quickly on Slack or see each other on a Zoom, there's just that other extra level of understanding there. That's really important to like sort of building the empathy of your relationship.
We made Sarah dance on Indian music.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Did you get any clothes?
I did. I got a beautiful sari and I got some more casual clothes as well. But really, Indian travel for me was all about the food and the tea.
Yeah, I am so excited myself. The tea and the food. I don't know, it's something about the clothes, like just getting all those fabrics that I know I can't get in that large quantity here. But Anjali, we're talking about empathy. I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah. What makes it easier at ThoughtSpot for us is that people understand each other. And I've like recently moved from India. Not that I have not lived here in the past, but this time, you know, I literally have two kids. And last time I had no kids here. And of course, the amount of work that I have to do to just drive them to work, etc. And in India, it was just opposite. I had all the help I needed. And even just understanding that fact, my team members, they understand that, you know, I might be dropping the kids to school. You know, I might be picking them up and, you know, they make sure that, you know, they don't set up meetings. So I think the company is overall flexible in understanding that you may have personal commitments and you need to work around. So for example, if I block certain amounts, certain times, if I see it blocked, I request them, I ping them on Slack, understand if, you know, it's not something urgent that they can move, etc. We respect that fact. So that actually helps a lot more. You know, it's not just India, US. We have teams in London. We have teams in Australia. So we work with many different time zones. It's very important to be empathetic about different cultures and of course, the personal commitments.
So we've talked a lot about what has been innovated in India. Let's wrap up by going around and talking about what the future holds.
I think what we're excited about this year, because we're just starting the year, is that there's so much ideas within the team that we have not even explored. And I'm talking about Gen AI right now. As Hema mentioned, we had the hackathon and we have barely touched, you know, like just a few features out of the entire set of features that were presented in the hackathon demo day. So we're actually excited about the fact that we have just so much to do. We are excited about the fact that we'll get to meet many more times this year as well. So we actually travel to India, a few of us every quarter. And of course, excited about this podcast going live.
I'm very excited too. And I hope that one of these days I can come visit in India with my family in Kolkata this time. I'm in December. That's where we're pretty much going to stay. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, you think when you visit, you have to get everything you want to do done. And my mom and I have been trying to de-escalate that a little bit and say, you know what, maybe we can save this to the next time. You know, maybe we can commit to like regular intervals of going. You know, it doesn't all have to be just done at once, like a tech project. Iterative thinking is also good for life.
Oh, I completely agree with you. You should make multiple trips to India. It's a awesome country. As I have been in the tech industry for almost 24 years at this point in time, I can say in the first few years, you had this constant thought whether you have to leave India to progress in your career, and we did have like a lot of brain drain happening. And we do have, whether in ThoughtSpot or outside in the industry, you do have like a lot of Indians. In fact, there was a joke when I visited, I think one of our customers, they said, oh, you are actually an Indian from India, right? Otherwise you have so many Indians in the US. As we were speaking about cultural differences and nuances, these differences between age groups in organization. Most of the folks I manage are barely out of college or just a couple of years. So differences are always going to exist, and we have to accommodate to make things happen. What I look forward this year is, if you look at, there's a book, very famous book called Think Fast and Slow. And the LLM, what it has given us is now system one thinking, right? Where it is able to process questions and it's just able to answer. And that too, because of all the training which has been done. I think very soon, in the next decade, we are going to see more deep thinking, more tougher problems, which LLM is going to help us solve. And this is probably, I would say, the best decade in my career, which is going to be. And it's going to be fantastic. You're going to see more deep applications, tough ones coming in. At the same time, the LLM security is a real thing. We have seen numerous way you can jailbreak, you can get into it and make it work incorrectly. So security in this space, and already numerous startups have started. And as Anjali is saying, probably India is a little bit lagging behind with respect to LLM startups. Around already 60 new startups have registered at this point in time. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting set of next few years, where there's going to be a huge amount of innovation which is going to happen in the whole large language model sphere, plus security and governance around it is going to be a very, very key aspect. So super excited to be a bug on this wall for this decade.
I think I'm really looking forward to sort of three things this year. One is, so the Mode and ThoughtSpot acquisition closed in July last year. Whenever you do a tech acquisition across two pretty different products, it takes a while to see that come to fruition. We're launching the first component of our actual product integration this spring. But I'm really looking forward this year to see those two products come together in really tangible ways. The second thing is that Mode has our own GPT-powered Gen AI feature in our SQL editor. And I'm really excited about it because of how different it is from ThoughtSpot Sage, in part because I think that GPT really shows us such a breadth of what Gen AI can do. And so I think I really appreciate every time we have a feature that feels really different, because there are so many opportunities across the BI space to help customers get closer to their data and learn more from it. And so the third area is probably really around some of the evolutions with ThoughtSpot Sage and Spot IQ and some of the other sort of ThoughtSpot focused features that are in the Gen AI space, and sort of continue to evolve those and see those mature is, I think, as exciting.
Well, thank you so much to all of you for sharing your time and your wisdom and your stories with me. I feel like I have so much of a better picture on how ThoughtSpot, which is a company that I see constantly on my LinkedIn feed and at conferences, really functions and runs. And that's something that I've wanted to explore for such a long time with my audience. If you want to learn more about ThoughtSpot, please go check them out right away at thoughtspot.com. I have the link in the show notes as well. And if you want to learn more about DataFem, I've been posting a lot of vintage, as I like to call it, episodes from previous seasons that are still relevant to our concerns with AI right now. I'm definitely not on Twitter or X as much as I used to be, but LinkedIn is fair game, and I hope to see all of you check in over there. You never